Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have a special guest, Nathan Cooper. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And we also have a special guest who's not been on the show in a long, long time. We're very delighted to have him here. Nick and Sweeney, how are you?
Thank you, Drew. It's just been so long since we've chatted.
I mean... know. We have a lot to catch up on, but me and my primary host, Nathan, have some topics we wanted to cover before.
Okay, there you go. The podcast. I like it.
Yeah, Nick, I hope you've enjoyed your long break, and hope you're ready to come back.
Right. Yes, exactly. For those who don't know, Nathan's a good long friend of ours. We've worked on projects in the past. We haven't caught up in a while, so we have lots to catch up on today, likely some stories to dive into. And firstly, I want to just ask, how's life going? How's career going? How's the projects and film going?
Pretty great.
Good. Last time I talked to you, you were
that
up
is
on
that
some...
is quite the intro right there. Pretty great.
You were on some film shoot last I checked.
Oh yeah. I do a lot of like interning and like production assistant type work, and you know, working with companies and just going and getting experience. So it's really cool.
How many, like, does that take up a lot of your personal time? Are you still going to school or?
I'm going to school and working full time and doing that. So those come along once, you know, every once in a while. And then I try to take a week off work and then, you know, go up and do that. So it just kind of depends.
Well, I'm honored you made time for us. That sounds like a very busy schedule.
Of course.
I know. No wonder why we had to book him 3 weeks in advance.
I know. The receptionist sounded very friendly on the phone, but glad we could finally book it. So last I heard from you, you were working at a Best Buy. Is that still
going on? Yeah, I work for like AT&T at a Best Buy and sell phones.
Oh, like the subdivision.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you like that job? Do you enjoy it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. The only reason I do it is because I really, really like it. I had started.
They don't even
and
need
I
to
was,
pay you.
Well, hold on. when I started, I was just a normal like phone salesperson, and then I moved into like the AT&T, like I'm called an AT&T expert position, just because like I literally loved being there so much, and I don't know, it was really cool. So.
So what's the day-to-day of that job look like? Are you still dealing with customers mostly,
yes,
or have you moved into like telling other people how to work with customers?
It's a little bit of both. I like kind of have the responsibility of like overseeing the rest of the team and making sure, you know, they know about AT&T and promotions, and then also dealing with issues that, you know, phone selling is like a mess. You can really mess things up if you don't know what you're doing. So
just from the customer side of things, it looks so complicated. I can't imagine the employee side.
And so it's a little bit of both. I mean, I do a lot with customers still, and and I don't know. It's really cool. It was very eye opening also to like the way people think about phones after like following the tech YouTube side of it all, and then just dealing
with
the common
you're getting a different
person.
Perspective.
Exactly.
Can I get the iPhone XR?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
most
have to
people,
refer to everything differently.
Well, most people don't even know what it's called. They're just like, hey, I want the new iPhone. I'm like, oh yeah, have you like done any research? Do you know which one you're looking for? They're like, I just want the new one. And I'm like,
well, there's three new ones.
Right. I'm like, okay, so this is, well, let's get into it here. There's three new iPhones. So
would you say, like, can you think of something that having pretty extensive experience with the tech YouTube side of things and now experience with hands-on selling phones to people, are there any particular things that you think tech YouTubers or people in the tech community misunderstand about the everyday consumer?
There's just so much stuff that, like, no one cares about. Like, I have, like, no one cares that the headphone jack is gone. No one cares. They're like, oh, wait,
like
there's no headphone jack. I'm like, yeah, they're like, no headphone jack. I'm like, oh, yeah, but, and then I either tell them it comes with an adapter or you have to buy this $10 adapter. And they're like, okay. Like, I have had zero people
or
ever
buy new headphones.
Make a fuss out of it. Like, no one cares.
You saw the meme, get AirPods.
Right?
So that was something that in the tech community space was like an uproar, like an outrage.
Exactly.
But in the everyday consumer phase, everyone's like, oh, okay.
At least with everyone I dealt with, they're like, oh, how do I use my headphones? I'm like, well, it comes with new headphones or you buy an adapter. And they're like, oh, okay.
That's
no one
funny.
Cares. Yeah.
Everyone I met in my personal life who's not in the tech community had a similar reaction, which is always funny seeing how angry people get online about it. Are there any other topics or particular features people don't give a crap about?
It's like all this stuff, like when the iPhone XR came out with like the display, you know, how like it's not 1080p.
Yeah.
No one cares. No one even like can notice the difference. I'm like trying to explain the difference. And like all I really tell people is like the OLED versus the LED, which also no one cares about, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
would you like show them side by side?
Oh, I do. I do. Yeah. And I try to explain the thing with the blacks, and I can just tell they're just like, they don't care at that point. You know, all people care about is like the camera. And even if it hasn't really gotten that much better, if you're like showing them a picture and you're like, oh, this looks so much better, they're like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have you have to do the drastic portrait mode stuff to sell people on the
camera. It is portrait mode that a lot of people really like is portrait mode.
Okay.
And if you can like show it to them, a lot of people are like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I want to get that.
Mm. See, that's why I think it's so nice that the iPhones have it in real time rendering.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of the Pixel line still hasn't figured that out yet.
I don't get it.
They have to do it in
post. Yeah.
Speaking of Pixel, there was a brief time last time before we've called where you texted me. I think it was while I was using the Pixel 3 way back in 2018. And you were like, I want to try it out. And which size should you go for? And I didn't really get much context or much background with that experience. So what made you kind of want to try out the Pixel? And then what kind of brought you back?
Ever since I started working there and just like, you know, maybe half the time I'd be selling like Pixel phones or Samsung phones, and like, you know, they'd open it up and I'd see it and I'd get excited just because, you know, I get excited about things. And it was just kind of being around it a lot and hearing about all the cool features that made me feel like, well, there's got to be something to it. I don't know. And I feel like, I don't know, with like the Samsung phones too, like all the like the supposed quote unquote productivity stuff where you can do split screen and use the pen, I thought was cool. So, and then we had some really good deal for like employees where the Pixel was like 75% off or something. And so I was like,
The price it should be.
Right.
Yeah,
right. I was like, I'd be an idiot not to try it, you know?
Okay.
And so I did, and I switched my SIM card over, and it was a disaster.
What made it a disaster though? How long did you last with the SIM and the Pixel?
Not even a week. I did it with a friend, and we were like, we'll try it for a week. And I like, maybe 4 days, maybe 3 days. I don't know. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, like, my mom couldn't text me. Everyone else could text me. My mom couldn't text me for some reason.
Aww.
And I had done the, like, turn off iMessage thing. I don't know. It was a disaster. Even, like, because I use, I have CarPlay in my car, right? Which is great.
Oh, sweet.
I love it. Uh-huh. On my way home, I tried to plug in the Pixel to use Android Auto, and it was terrible. Like, just the interface was so bad. And then on the way home, YouTube crashed 4 times. I remember that. And
that's
like,
what happened to my wife when she was using it. Yeah.
Yeah. YouTube, and I'm like, crashing. It doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't work. And I even made like a whole list of stuff I can just rattle off about how much I hated it.
Oh, good. And I would love to hear this.
Okay. Because everyone in Android talks about the back button, right? So when I was using it, the back button never did what I wanted it to do. I'd always hit back and it would do like something else. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
Oh no.
And the multitasking was terrible. Like, it sucked. Mm,
yeah.
Like, cause they, you know, they stole the thing where it like, you just swipe over to like change
the
apps.
Right.
It was terrible. Yeah, yeah. It was so slow. It took forever. and then everyone loves it cause like the camera. But I don't know. The camera was fine. It all looks the same to me. I don't know. It wasn't a big enough deal.
Thank
it wasn't
you.
Nearly
Says
a big enough deal.
Says the videographer / editing guru.
Okay.
Yes.
The camera's just the same.
I want everyone to know how much of a professional Nathan is.
I'm just saying
that. He's the one on the record.
At that level, it's all the same. You know, obviously, I don't know. I don't want to throw my credibility.
Oh, it's so far below you. You don't. It doesn't even register as a camera. It just all looks like a potato.
For the things that I use a phone to take pictures of, it doesn't matter.
Yes, I think. I totally agree that anything you're taking a picture of with your phone, you know, any new smartphone is going to take a better than average photo.
Right.
Whether or not one takes a slightly different lighting. And I also think where a lot of people misunderstand, like when they look at comparison shots where they're side by side, like here's the 10R, here's the Pixel 3, is they'll be like, oh, this one's overexposed or this one's undersaturated. It's because you're looking at two side by side. If you took away one, you wouldn't say that one's undersaturated, or you wouldn't say that one's overexposed, because on its own you would just be like, oh, that's the photo.
That's fine.
But then as soon as you compare it to something else, you're like, oh, now it's overexposed. You can argue it either way. You could say, well, that one's underexposed or that one's overexposed. So it's just kind of endless. That's why I try not to do that in my reviews, where I put them side by side every single time. Because, I mean, you can probably attest to selling phones to people directly in the store. They wouldn't notice that kind of thing in the first place.
Yeah. And let me actually, I'll tell a story about that. Because back when I was editing for you, I think, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if people remember this, but you did, I think it was your review of, like, the Pixel 2 or whatever, right? And when we were doing that, if you were going to talk about, like, a specific picture, you would send them to me. And you would send me, like, two pictures. And then I was editing the part of the video, and you were like, oh, I took a picture on the iPhone, I took a picture on the Pixel, here's the iPhone picture, here's the Pixel picture. And I was sitting there, and I was looking at the photos, I'm like, yeah, the Pixel 1 is overexposed, like, it doesn't look as good. And then right after, in the video that I hadn't gotten to yet, you go, and that's actually the same photo, and I just adjusted the settings a little bit on one of them. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Because
I was so gotten by it. I remember being like, yep, iPhone's better, like, look at that overexposed. But... yeah. It's kind of unrelated. I love doing that. That was great. That was great.
Ever since, like, way before the even original Pixel, I always wanted to do that.
Little things like that. I mean, people, I do have people who sometimes come in having the idea in their head that, like, oh, Samsung phones have really good cameras. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, they do. But, like, I mean, if you always have had an iPhone and you love your iPhone except for the camera, like, it's not going to make that, I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference.
No, it won't. I mean, who are all these professional photographers using their smartphone? That's my question. Like, all these people who get into the specifics.
All the ones
of...
who are paid by Apple.
Yeah.
Right, it's the shot on iPhone people, and that's it.
Like, I don't understand where suddenly all of these expert photographers come out, even though they're taking pictures on their phone. They're just like, no, this color balance and this over... It's like, where... How do you know about all this stuff? Do you have a DSLR you take pictures with? Like, where does all this come from? If you care that much about the photo, you know, use a real camera.
Right.
But, yeah, it's funny how much we bicker about it. And it sells pretty well.
Those videos
comparing.
But in the day-to-day,
you're right.
It is something that a lot of people come in, like, looking for. And, like, that's what they want to hear about is, like, the camera is better. So... Mm-hmm. You know, the ad campaigns and everything.
It's the most visible. Yeah, it's the most visible part of a smartphone. Like, if you think of what 98% of average people are doing, they're taking pictures of their kids and taking selfies on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's literally what they're doing with their phone. They're not using it to, you know, run a fancy game that uses all the A12 bionic chips, you know, ooh, fancy jinchies. They're using it to take pictures.
And texting.
And, like, that's the most visible difference. And texting, too, yeah. But everyone can do texting. Unless you're Pixel, then you can't text either. But,
and you can't, right?
Which is okay.
Yeah, that was going to be my segue. It's like people, a lot of the time, will be like, well, people just use iOS because of iMessage. And I'm like, well, we all text, so that's kind of a big deal, you know. It may feel like a small feature. It's like, well, Android phones can text, but... The simplicity of iMessage and the cross-platform of it, how it works between all the different devices. If you can get texting right, that's something you can count on everybody utilizing. You know, we may not all take a bunch of pictures and videos. We may not all listen to music constantly or use different music streaming services. But most of us with our phones are sending text messages. So if your phone can get that right and it can do it well and it makes it easy, then, yeah, that's probably going to be a selling point for a lot of people. But yeah, we all know this. I'm preaching to the choir. But
really,
speaking of iPhone cameras, Nathan, have you kept up at all with the tech community and what we're talking about on a
Ooh,
the YouTube side of things lately.
That was
very,
very
good transition.
Thank you.
Bravo, Drew.
I have briefly, I've seen the photos. We're talking about like the three camera thing, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I'll have to say about that, Andrew. This is what happens when Johnny Ivy leaves. They make a terrible picture.
No!
No, I'm kidding. I watched your video on that.
Okay, good. I was going to say.
I did. That was a 100% joke. And so I haven't really seen, like, heard a whole lot about it. I've seen the pictures. I've looked past them and been like, oh, that doesn't look great. But, you know, what do I know?
Whatever.
Because did we decide on the one where you could see the three dots and it wasn't going to be hidden? Is that what we decided on?
I think so. I think that's the most recent, up-to-date one.
What we decide on is definitely what Apple does.
Because then the black one's going to look, the black one could look better because then it's kind of more hidden. But
so you would rather
I want it to be as visible as possible. I want to be like, hey, I spent money on a new phone this year when one else spent money on a new phone this year because it's exactly the same.
Yeah. So, Nathan, you would rather have the whole module stay black instead of the individual holes?
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at pictures right now. I mean, I think so, just like right off the bat without actually seeing what theirs would look like. I'm sure I'll be happy with whatever they make. But also, why do we need another camera? I don't know. No one uses the wide-angle camera. I'm just cynical over here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's probably a good point, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the adding of the telephoto lens will probably be a bigger deal than the adding of the ultra wide. Having used the Galaxy S10, I enjoyed using the ultra wide a lot, but I completely admit that for the everyday consumer, probably the kind of people that you interact with at your work, they are not going to give a crap about the ultra wide lens. They'll be like, oh, that's neat. How much is that?
Yeah, they'll buy it because they're like, oh, there's an extra lens on there. That's so cool. And then they will never use it is what I'm thinking.
Right. Exactly. I mean, how many third parties are even going to take advantage of it? I feel like a ton of third party applications don't even utilize the telephoto.
That's true. Yeah.
So trying to the ultra wide using in the native camera app, it's handy, it's kind of cool. I mean, if you're like a real estate agent, that is super helpful.
That's true.
Yeah, there have been a couple times that, like, over the past year or so since the rumors have been circulating about an ultra wide, originally I was like, I don't need it, but the more I use my phone and take pictures, there have been probably like 2 or 3 dozen times over the past year where I've been like, yeah, an ultra wide would be helpful. I wish I could just get like a little bit further, but like, you know, at the same time, yeah, I don't care. That's not why I'm going to buy the new phone. I'm going to buy the new phone because I signed up with the Apple Upgrade Program, and I might as well.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are you both?
There's no reason not to.
Are you both in the iPhone Upgrade Program?
I am.
I got out of it last year because...
Oh, really?
We'll see. Okay, I'm going to get the new one anyway. But I decided
good. We can still be friends, okay, Nathan?
I want to hear the
reason. It's not a great reason. It's just like I could trade it back in, and then I've spent like $500 on this phone. But if I could sell it for like $700, then I would make more money. So I've just realized that
Didn't we have a conversation about this once?
I think we did. If you can sell the iPhone for more than half of what it's worth, then you're making money, is what I found. So I got out.
That is true.
I think that's what Randy
did. That is true.
With his iPhone 10 last year. So you're still in the mindset of upgrade every year? You're not thinking about skipping this year?
I am.
That's the funny part. I think all of us are in the mindset of like, no, this next iPhone's not going to be a huge deal, but we're all going to get it anyway. Not because we need the ultra wide. It's not a matter of needing new features anymore. It's just a matter of we don't hate it enough to not get it.
Right?
I don't hate the ultra wide. So I might
It's just
well
what
it.
You do in September. It's just what you do. Like, we've all been trained every September. We've been setting aside money all year. And, like, in September, that's when you go buy a new iPhone. That's just what you do.
It's like your birthday, you know.
Exactly. Well, it is my birthday. It's always, like, a few days after my birthday, which is, like, a birthday present to myself.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I forgot about that.
Every year,
that's your perfect birthday present. That's cool.
There was 1 year where launch day was on my birthday.
Ooh,
it was like
that's cool.
Friday.
I think I remember
success,
that.
I believe.
I think I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, that was fun. I like got it for myself on my birthday.
Yeah, nothing comes out on my birthday. It's the worst.
Aww.
Wait, Nathan, when's your birthday?
March 28th. I'm trying to think if something came out. I feel like a Mario game came out on my birthday at one point.
Oh, well, that's nice. Well, happy late
that's
birthday.
That's very important.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Sorry we didn't get you anything.
No, you're fine.
One thing, though, to go back to the ultra wide that I do appreciate it for is being able to film videos or vlogs or anything like that when you're inside a car, which I hope to do later on.
Oh, I wonder why.
If one day we start making more videos on Tesla. Have you been catching up with any of my recent Tesla videos, Nathan? And by the way, I don't care if you haven't. It's fine. I won't be upset.
No, I have. I have. I heard probably from your mouth that you're planning to get a Tesla soon-ish. On Ada Video. Nothing no one else knows. Not this year. Okay. It's the delivery dates are pretty down now, right? Like, you can order one and get it, like, soon-ish, I've heard, I think.
Someone on Twitter got theirs in, like, 2 days or something crazy like that.
Oh, my gosh.
And Elon tweeted it out. And I was like, okay, well, where I live, that's not happening. That's not going to be a thing. But is that still a car you would like to get in the future? Because last time we talked, you were pretty ambitious about it.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That is my, like, I mean, my plan is to drive my car until I get that car. And I think my car still has a few years on it.
Yep, me too.
Bravo. So, and, you know, I'll be finished with, you know, I'm still going to school, which I'll be finished with in, you know, 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm not getting it when I'm in school. Or maybe even after. I don't know. I don't think it's until this car breaks down-ish, then we'll see.
Ish.
I don't know.
As in, like, the phone charger stops working. All right, the car's totaled.
Right. let's total it.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad we can still talk about it. So tell me your dream configuration Tesla. Any model, any color, what would you get it?
I mean, I'm down with the 3. I was kind of looking at the Y because I have an SUV right now and I really like it, but I don't know. I feel like I'm fine with either one. But I don't know. I like the 3. Yep. I like the 3. And I mean, I've kind of like configured it and stuff, and I don't feel like I need the long range, you know?
Same.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Me too.
Especially with how fast the charging is. So the main thing I would add is like the premium interior or whatever, and that's pretty much it.
Oh my God. Nathan is my spirit animal.
I don't care about the aero wheels. I think they look
fine. What's the difference
between
the partial premium and the premium interior, though? Like, I hear you guys talk about that, but it's like
I met someone who wants the premium interior. I couldn't find one other human being on this planet.
What? Who would buy a Tesla without the premium interior?
Apparently most.
The partial premium is all I need. Like, give me heated seats and
let me look.
Wait, are you talking about the white interior, Nathan?
No.
Oh,
the white interior,
we're talking about different things.
Is that what you're talking about? Oh, you want the white interior? It's just going to get
dirty.
That's
what I thought you were talking about.
No.
Oh.
Wait, hold on. The premium interior.
What do you mean by premium?
Like
we're doing
the,
some research, folks.
Wait, hold on. Maybe they took it off. Wait, dang it. It used to be you paid like an extra few thousand and then they put in like better speakers and like stuff.
Oh, it may have changed since.
Oh,
the
it's
last
included
time
now. Okay. Yeah, no, I don't want the white interior. Oh my gosh, that looks
Dang it. I'm still alone.
I would consider the white, but it depends on what outside I get. If I get a white exterior, then I'll get a white interior, so it'll matchy matchy.
What
color would
you
guys get? The very roadster they brought out on stage is a red exterior and a white interior, and I love that color combination. I think that looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Not Talosif blue,
but. You know,
it's Talosif Gaming Red. Okay, Nathan.
Oh my
gosh. I saw. I don't know if you saw the video, Nathan, but Nick and Randy rented a Model 3 and drove it up here for a few days,
and they
brought it up in the blue color, and it looked good. Like I said, there's no bad looking Tesla in my opinion, but it's definitely not the tech blue color that most people are accustomed to. It's more of a darker shade, and I wouldn't. you know, if someone offered me a blue Tesla, I would accept it immediately. But I think I still prefer the red color. Not saying I'm against blue, but I just think the red one looks the best. So that's probably the one I would go with.
Got it.
Yep.
How about you?
I kind of like just the black. I don't know. And I'm like, am I just being cheap and not paying extra? But I mean, honestly, I think it looks really good. The dark gray, I think, is kind of nice, but I feel like it's too light gray. I don't know.
Mm. I wish I had your preference, then I could save money.
Interesting. $2,000. Well, I think that the black one looks really good in person.
It does.
It looks really bad on the website.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The blue, they make look really bluish on the website,
and then you
but
see
it's
it,
like
yeah.
dark blue in person.
Yeah.
It's like, fix your colors, Tesla, because, like, I totally agree with you, Drew. Like, the black one looks kind of ugly online, but, like, in person,
yeah,
the
once
black
you
one
see
looks
it,
like
it's pretty
nice.
Awesome.
It's like, ugh. And they're supposed to be adding a new basic white color, which will be the
yeah.
new free color.
I'm curious when that's
going to
happen.
That's the one I'll get. I like white cars.
But you don't care about the multi-coat?
I always thought the pearl multi-coat just kind of seemed like, I don't know. Like, if I'm why am I going to pay an extra $1,500 for a white car? Why wouldn't I just get, you know, a black one and wrap it or something? But now that the white is the cheapest option, in a few days or whenever they update the website, that's definitely what I'll probably get, because mm-hmm. I like white cars and I don't need it fancy.
Okay. Yeah, I need to see it. I'm curious if it's going to be a noticeable different shade or if it's going to be, like, indiscernible from the regular white. I'm curious once the site updates, so I check it every day, basically, just to see.
Oh, my gosh.
You just check it once a day, Drew?
Yeah. Okay.
I kind of feel like, you know,
multiple
back
times.
In the day, like, you know, 2012 or whatever, when we were all into technology, but we, like, couldn't afford it yet, and, like, we were all on Apple's website
2012,
and, like, refreshing it, and, like...
That's still today.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know.
I just...
Like, I just think back in the day, like, sorry. I was, like... 14 or whatever, but like I'd be on the website, Apple's website, configuring, you know, like, oh, what if I, you know, had $1,000 to spend, what would I get? And, you know, I feel like I'm doing that with Tesla now. Like, I'm always on their website, like, oh, Model 3, this, that.
What are you going to say, Nathan?
Oh, I just went through and configured what I was going to get, which it literally is probably the basic thing. But they have an Apple Pay option, and you can literally just click it so easily and order it. You don't need
yes,
to put in, like,
I
any
know.
Information.
So
it's just Apple Pay, and that's it.
Isn't that dangerous?
It's very dangerous. I could click it so easily
they make
right
it
now.
So simple.
Wait,
have
so
you driven
much...
a Model 3?
No. I have been in an X, but not a 3.
Whoa. When did you get in an X?
Oh, wow.
We went... Well, actually, I know someone who has an X, so I was in their X. But we also went and test drove an X. So, you know, not that exciting.
Ooh. That's cool. Yeah, after... I blame mostly Nick and Randy for bringing up the Model 3, because before they did that, I was into Tesla, but I wasn't, you know, like, hyped about it. I wasn't like, we need to start saving money for one. I was just kind of like, you know, dream car one day. But then they brought it up here, and we drove it around for like a good 4 days. And then I got used to it. And that was the most dangerous thing I could have done.
Yes.
Because once I got used to it, and you go back to your old car, it's like, oh, God, this is horrible now. Like, everything sucks.
Well, now.
Like, so, I have to worry about this car hitting that car now. That can actually happen. You know? This car can't drive itself.
Then, if you write it, if you're, I guess you're...
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at their website right now. That's why I'm asking. Are you going to do cash, mm-hmm. lease, or loan?
We're doing cash. But if I wasn't married, I probably wouldn't do cash.
Seen like MKBHD when he talks about his Tesla and how he has it on a lease because he's
right.
That's my thought exactly.
Yeah, that's why Nick wants to lease it.
Okay.
And it's good actually because Randy is doing the loan. Nick plans eventually on doing the lease. I'm doing cash outright, so all three of us are going to have different experiences. We're going to be like Thor, Cap, and Iron Man, I guess, coming together.
There you
with
go.
All
perfect.
Of our Teslas.
I call Tony Stark.
Yeah.
called it.
Well,
it's mine now.
I know why they want to do the lease, but it's mostly from a perspective of I'm buying it for the full self-driving tech. So as long as it's capable of that, then I'm okay with buying it outright. And this is a car that I want to use for like long, long, long term. Like I think we could be using this Model 3 for like the next 10 years once we do get it. And the only issue with the lease is like, yeah, you get the latest versions and you trade them back in, but you don't get to buy the Tesla out at the end of the lease either. That's not an option, which just means you're kind of renting the car, as in you're paying all this money and you're pouring it into something you'd get nothing out of at the end. You're still just going to be out the money, and then by the end of the lease agreement, the car's gone. But I understand that because it's like a piece of tech and they're improving it and they're getting it better, I understand why someone would want to lease it out, and especially with the low price leasing options they have. It's very compelling. When I looked on their website, and I think they started at like $400 a month, which is great. It's something down, though, right? It's like 5,000 down.
I'm looking at it right now.
Down.
It's $4,500 down, and then $400 a month. Oh, but you also have
to
pay.
That's so worth it.
Oh yeah, I should just get one.
I pay Verizon about the same amount as I would on that basic lease.
What?
Well, that's messed up. You say that like it's normal. Yeah. That's not normal, Nick.
Well,
hold on.
I have my
I
whole
understand.
Family.
You pay $400 for a Verizon bill?
How big is your family?
It's like $390. Listen, I have six people on it.
I can save you some money
plus
if
my
you switch
iPad
to
and Apple
AT&T.
Watch. No, AT&T doesn't work out here.
Nathan is today's sponsor. Welcome to AT&T, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
but I'm. What I told Nick in our last big Tesla podcast or whatever we call this thing, as I told him, I'm glad I know someone who is leasing, because then I can know how that system works and how it works for them in the long term. Because honestly, the main appeal for the hardware, in my opinion, was just that as long as the car is capable of driving itself, like as long as it can do that, I don't really know what they're going to add hardware-wise in the future that I would feel like I'm missing out on, opposed from just like, ooh, better range. But I work from home, so range isn't a huge concern of mine. It's more just driving into town. And we've done the math of like, we have family who live far out of town, you know, in Southern Cal and in Washington. And comparing the ranges of the standard range plus to the long range, it's like, okay, so you're going to have to charge the car after 3 hours or after 2 hours. You know, you're still stopping on the way there and charging. Ultimately, it's an extra $10,000 so that you can last another hour on the road, which we don't do a lot of road trips. So, yeah. I'm curious, though, if they are going to add some type of hardware in the future that, I don't know, would be worth it for the lease agreement. But that's why we have Nick and now Nathan.
Yep.
if you do decide to lease it.
We just can't get the same color, Nathan, okay?
Well,
that's
I'm
the
getting
only
black.
Requirement.
I call dibs, so.
Okay, sweet. Well, I call dibs on the cheap white one.
This is going to be perfect. Randy has his wrapped. He's got that matte green finish on his.
Oh, my gosh.
And then. Have you seen a picture of it, Nathan?
Oh, there's a green Tesla? Hold on. Looking it up.
If you go to Randy Vasquez Twitter.
Oh, okay.
It's probably all over.
Okay, we'll see.
Oh, yeah. He has it pinned, and, you know, it's like his profile picture and his
pinned,
background.
But it's down there. He got the matte finish on his. It's kind of an army color.
Oh, wait. So he already has one.
Yeah, he bought his a couple weeks ago.
Okay,
so we're
let's
all
see
very
how long it takes me to find one. Oh, there it is.
You might be angry. I'm just excited for him.
No, like, I say that
this
joking.
This guy is like...
I'm very excited for him.
Me too.
Plus, he just got engaged.
Where he like... Yeah, he got married.
Oh, married. They got married in secret.
Wait, did you see that Tesla, like, oh, wait, no. Oh, this is a Tesla owners or whatever. They retweeted his picture and said, nope or dope.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
I did see that.
Yep.
I
And I don't know what...
So
I don't know.
What's the point of asking nope?
People are like, it's like, all dope. Do people want it? No. Like,
yeah. I think because Randy has like a watch band with those exact colors, I'm like, yes, that's perfect for him. I wouldn't get it.
Yes,
for me, but for Randy, that is perfect.
It is. It is his color.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm wearing the red.
Nice.
But maybe in the few years down, we can all have an ultimate Tesla meetup, and we all bring our cars together.
Ooh, yeah.
Sounds good.
All
to
the
me.
Different colors. So
I'd just have to make sure that the Tesla could drive itself by that point, because I don't want to sit behind in the car. I want to fly there and have my Tesla meet me at the airport. That's what I want to do.
The car drives there as you fly. That's an interesting idea, Nick. You're getting my mind all confused again. So now people could like get in the car, just tell it to go somewhere with no intention of being inside it the entire time.
Well, no. So this is how it would work in my mind. Okay. You have it drive you to the airport, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you get out and get your bags, and then you tell it to drive to whatever airport you're flying to. And then if it's not, you know, across the country, then you just make sure you have like two or three connection spots, and you like spend the afternoon in Atlanta or like Chicago or whatever, and then you fly out in the evening, and then by the time you get to that airport, your car's waiting for you in the pickup zone.
I don't understand.
The car beat the plane?
I don't understand.
Like,
a plane is so much faster. You would have to wait at the airport for like a day, right?
Exactly.
Arrives with like five
sounds like my dream.
How are they going to do that?
The police officer walks up to the car and there's no one in it.
Wait, Randy.
Yes.
License and registration. Window rolls up again.
I found something out. Oh, dang, I lost Randy's Twitter. What I was going to ask. Okay, if your car is driving there anyway, why aren't you in the car?
Why don't you just be in it? Why fly?
But because flying is a lot more comfortable.
But it's a Tesla.
Like, in a car, you can't, like, stand up and walk around.
Tesla's more comfortable than a plane.
Open the Gulf Wing windows or doors.
Falcon wings.
I would much rather fly. If I had the choice between driving or, you know, quote unquote, driving my Tesla across the country or flying across the country, I'd much rather fly.
Wow.
Even if we arrived at the same time.
You're
even
a different
if the car
person.
And the plane arrived at
but
the same
do you
time.
Want to
oh, I totally
pay
am.
For a plane
I'm not
ticket
even human.
If your car is going to drive it anyway?
Are we talking about paying for things? Okay, well, in that case, of course I'm going to sit in my Tesla.
Right?
Nick's all into the fly miles and points. And
oh, got it.
Oh, boy.
We can go down that rabbit hole.
Well, if the car's already going there, yes, I'd get in there. But ideally, I wouldn't want to sit in the car. I'd much rather fly.
Okay,
if
wait.
It's a
I'll
Tesla,
get my private
I'll
jet,
drive
actually.
Around the world.
You'll drive through the ocean.
Nice. Mm-hmm. What would happen if you
Elon
told your
working
Tesla
on that.
To drive to, like, England? Would it stop at the ocean? Like, would it try to go through?
You can actually use the wheels to propel itself.
There you go.
Okay.
It just jumps right in.
I wonder if they have any superchargers out in the middle of the Atlantic.
Oh, your Tesla dies in the middle of the ocean and it's just at the bottom.
We actually got
free Tesla.
A supercharger installed in my hometown like a week ago. So
that's cool.
Really?
I'm super excited. And they're installing like the third-party type chargers all over the place too in more parking lots. And I'm like, oh, sweet, they're getting it all ready for me.
Nice.
Because no one has these here.
They know.
Absolutely no one. But I'll be one of the first, probably. Up here, like, seeing a Tesla is very rare. It does not happen that mm-hmm. often.
Wow.
I've actually seen, I think I've seen more Model S's lately than 3s, which is weird. You'd expect the opposite.
Right. I mean, maybe it's. I mean, it's been around for longer, but you would expect at this point.
Like where you are, there's a ton of Teslas, right? Do you see them pretty often?
I see like multiple Teslas on my way to work every day.
So oh, okay.
It's kind of. Yeah.
Figured... Oh, that sounds so nice. I want to work where you work and drive on your commute. Seeing Teslas
like if I don't,
is nice.
Nick
if I
lives
don't
in
see,
an insane asylum.
I'm like, if I don't see a Model 3 on the way to work, I'm kind of like, whoa, that was weird. there's like, a lot. It
throws
lot.
You off can that you, day.
Can, so both of you are into Tesla.
That is
can
correct.
You guys like notice a Tesla without like actually seeing it? Do you guys like have the feeling where like
kind of
you're sitting at an intersection, kind of staring into middle distance, waiting for the light to turn green, and you just see a car like whiz past you going the other way, and like you're like, oh, that was a
I
Tesla.
Mean, you can tell.
And then
you
you're like,
tell,
no, there's
yeah.
no way. I didn't even see it. I didn't see oh. it. And then you like look over and you're like, oh, that was a Tesla.
It's like a sixth sense guy's... almost.
Yes, Spidey sense. For Peter Tingle. One of those.
Please watch Far From Home if you're confused by what we just said.
Yes, it's good.
Yeah, I can tell them by the headlights at night,
yes,
which I'm proud
headlights
of.
Me too. And the brake lights, you can yes. also tell.
They have a very iconic, sleek headlight design that when I notice it, I'm like, ooh, I know what that is. Yeah.
I got goose pimples again, Drew. What are you doing
it's
to me?
It's not goose pimples, Nick. That's not the expression.
What's going on? I don't know what's is going it? On what? Here.
Nick gets excited.
He's talking
sometimes.
About how well-designed the Tesla is. And it's just so pretty. And
you
are
both,
about it
both
and...
of you torn on the Model Y. But Nathan, what was your interest in getting the Model Y? Was it just the bigger size?
It's just a size, yeah. I mean, I have an SUV right now, and it's super helpful. Mm-hmm. So... That's okay. pretty much it. I don't like. I
well,
feel
maybe
like at
by
this
the time,
point, like an mm-hmm. S or an X is like. I feel like they're so like. It feels like they're out of date with like the screen and everything, which they're not.
Yeah, they do.
But it's like they gotta update something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
I
you're
think
right.
they're working on that. There's supposed to be one in September.
Really? Okay.
Just the rumors I've heard. Yeah.
Where'd you see that rumor, Nick?
Sean from All Things EV.
Oh, okay.
Well, he is the leader of the Denver Tesla Club.
Oh, nice.
Oh okay.
And he does
Teslanomics.
He's actually well connected with Elon's brother.
Oh, okay. Well, cool.
Who lives up in Boulder, which is, you know, even cooler.
I hope it's an interior update as well. From what I've heard, there's a few people.
It should be.
In our Discord, one of them has a Model X, and he says that it's a great car, but the display feels a little unresponsive. And I think that has something to do with the age of it, you know, the range and stuff can hold up, and the motors and the electric components that make the car run and everything, that can work fine. But the computer and the processor that's actually just maintaining the user interface, that, just like any computer, can get old and get slow, especially older touchscreens compared to more recent ones. So I think some of the older Model S's and X's are kind of starting to experience that little lagginess that touchscreens can get. Whereas any three I've used has had a very, very, like, it feels like an iPad display. You know, there's no give on the display. It's just hard
but
glass.
But is it 120 refresh rate,
ask.
Though?
That hurts.
Is it a gaming Tesla,
maybe
though?
Maybe that'll be the hardware change that you guys can lease out later. Like, the 2024 Model 3 has 120 hertz display.
So my thought on the lease, though, is, like, I want a Model Y, ultimately. But, like, I don't want to wait 2 more years for it.
Which Model Y would you want?
I would want the cheap one, whatever the
one is. So you would have to wait
is,
a little longer then, right?
I did put a reservation in for the most expensive one because I wanted it sooner than later. But I canceled that because I don't need it right now. Like, I know that I'm not going to be in a financial position to be able to buy that in, you know, 18 months or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I want the cheap one, whatever the cheap one is. And so,
which
you know, I'm like,
longer?
Okay, I'll get the cheap Model 3 now, and then in 3 years when my lease is up, I'll get the cheap Model Y, which should be out for leasing.
I think that's a good idea. And then you drive it to me.
We'll see.
And we hang out
okay.
in it.
That sounds good. Or I get the Model Y lease like a few months before my Model 3 lease is over, and then we can have all of the cars. Just like an Infinity Stone meetup of just like Drew. The thumbnail is just Drew doing the Thanos look, like like all of the power on his hand.
Yeah, perfect. No, I definitely want to drive one. I think the 3 is going to be our perfect first Tesla. But to me, like down the road, maybe having a family someday, that would be when the Model Y would be really practical, or perhaps even the pickup truck from what I've heard about it. I'm very curious about what direction they're taking the pickup truck in. Elon's hinted at it, but I just have no idea what the design's supposed to look like based on the teaser image they've given. So I'm very curious where they're going with that.
Yeah, the pickup truck is going to be interesting. It just seems like such a, like a not Tesla-like car, but, I mean, they can do whatever
exactly.
they want.
Like, all
they
of...
can do whatever they want and just slap a Tesla logo on it and I'll want it. I'm such a Tesla sheep. This is bad.
Yeah, I'm getting there, too. I mean, if you add up all the money I've spent on Apple products, it doesn't equate to the price of the Model 3. So it will technically be a company I have made more investment in than Apple at that point once
that
we buy it.
That is true. Hmm.
So I got to be Tesla sheep just as much as Apple sheep at that point. But you're right. Like, all Teslas, even the X, have very sporty look to them. You know, they all have this very aerodynamic appeal. But pickup trucks are usually not known for being, you know, the ultra-fast, sporty, aerodynamic look. So knowing that they're trying to make something functional that you can load stuff into and everything, it's going to be weird, I think. I think it won't sit in with the rest of the lineup as well. It'd be interesting.
Do you think Tesla will ever branch away from, like, phones and solar panels and stuff? Or away from cars and, like, into
really
phones.
Confused.
Hello. Like, they had that. They have, like, a few phone cases and, like, they have, like, a phone charger and stuff. But, like, I don't know. They have cool battery technology. And, like, I'd love to see, you know, more, like, small case uses. Like, would they make, like, a laptop? Like, their batteries are very versatile. Like, they're little, you know, 210 millimeter batteries or whatever they call them. They seem pretty versatile.
Yeah.
I'd like love to see what other things they could do with it.
I don't think so. I feel like they're more just preoccupied with the automotive industry and tackling that and getting those as cheap as possible, because I think Elon genuinely wants, like, you know, electric cars to dominate the road, and he wants to make more renewable energy sources and make them safer, make the safest cars on the road. And that's the same thing with SpaceX, is, you know, to, like, work on making us a multi-planetary species, and the Boring Company's trying to tackle traffic. There's all these kind of big, big, major human species problems he's trying to tackle. And I feel like while it would be cool if they made a phone or a laptop, they probably, like, they wouldn't be tackling one of Elon's, like, you know, inevitable dooms of the human race. It would just be like, oh, it's a Tesla laptop, and it would probably run Windows, so I wouldn't buy it.
I forget about it. Sorry.
Same with the phone.
It would be an Android phone.
Yeah,
oh,
it would have to be an Android phone. There are a bunch of Android fans that would probably like the Tesla phone because it's made by Tesla. But yeah, what's the selling point other than, you know, it's an electric phone? It runs on battery.
Gas one.
Whoa.
Ooh. You have to plug it in. You could plug it into the supercharger and, like, go from 0 to 100 in, like, 2 seconds.
I was
going to
say, that's the one accessory I would like, is a Tesla supercharger adapter to phone charger. You just take that giant charge plug and you're able to charge your MacBook in, like, 10 seconds. I don't know. No, it probably
that would
wouldn't
be awesome.
Do that. But
it would, like, blow it up Note 7 style.
Well,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. I think maybe down the road, if Tesla gets bored, they would start doing weird stuff like that. But they still haven't turned a profit yet, right?
Yeah, they have.
Okay.
I mean, quarter to quarter, they're profitable. The last quarter, they had a quarter where they weren't profitable. But this quarter, they just announced the results. They were profitable this last quarter.
Well, that's good.
So, I mean, they're on the right track. The problem is, it's just very volatile, and the media doesn't help with it. Like, not to get political or anything, but, like, even Elon was talking about it on stage at the investor relation thing.
Right.
Like, he's like, we have a lot of bad coverage. If an ICE car, like, if a Ford, you know, a Ford Escape, you know, catches fire on the side of the road, it's maybe going to hit local news, you know, maybe if, like, someone dies in it. If a Tesla catches on fire and one person dies in it, it's going to be
everywhere.
Headline news across the country for weeks. So, you know, I think that there's a problem. There's a public perspective problem. You know, obviously we're fanboys and we don't notice that, but I think the everyday person thinks that Teslas are gonna blow up, can't go from your house to work without charging, and are slow. Like,
yeah,
it's unfortunate, really.
So that's That's why Elon's counting on all of us to do the marketing for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tesla.
We got to sell them.
We are officially rebranding here. This is now the Tesla Tech Podcast. Yeah.
Well, ultimate question for Nathan. I've heard Nick talk about it. Apple could be working on their own car. We're seeing more patents being passed. What would an Apple car have to be for it to sell you over the Tesla?
I feel like it would just basically, if it was basically a Tesla, I'd buy it. I mean, the Tesla feels like it does, like the Model 3 does everything I would want it to do. If it could drive itself, if it was electric, if it had like a giant screen. Here's what would get me to get the Apple car over Tesla is CarPlay. Love that.
Really? Okay.
Don't know why.
Interesting.
I don't know why Tesla doesn't have it. I mean, I know maybe.
Oh,
why,
so you'd be in favor of CarPlay on the Tesla? I'm just confused how that would work because the UI is built a very specific way on the Model 3.
I don't know how it would work either. Maybe like you don't need it since it can. It has. I guess you would want to use Tesla's map thing anyway because it drives itself. And I guess everything else is on there anyway. So
never mind.
Maybe I've just changed my mind. Maybe I don't even need it. But
you're right. There could be some kind of integration, though. You're right. I'm not exactly sure what it would be. Maybe if Apple and Tesla just worked a little bit, not like extensively, but just a little bit to be like, as soon as you enter the car, like your Apple Music library pops up on the Model 3 UI instead of Tesla's own music service, which, if you get the standard Range Plus, I believe that costs money. You don't get the music streaming built in, which is kind of weird.
Like, the thing is, it's going to be expensive. Like, the Apple cars may...
No.
Expensive.
No
so
way.
Maybe I'm just not going to get an Apple car right now.
But will the Apple car come with the stand? That's the real question.
There's the meme of the week, yeah. No wheels included.
$1,000 each.
Well, that would be reasonable, but the Apple card, I think if it does happen, as we're seeing more research and development patents on it, if it does happen, it will be like a Roadster competitor, not anything else.
Right.
It won't be.
That would be awesome, though.
It wouldn't be. It would be like a four-door Roadster. That's probably what Apple's working on. They're like, wow, it's super fast and it's super sleek, and for the low price of $150,000, it can be yours.
But
everyone's
then,
like,
just $150,000, Drew?
That's the base.
Remember
model,
the
okay
rule with Apple.
That
add
one doesn't
a zero
have any
to whatever number you think. Oh, okay. Oh, that's a, there we go.
That's
perfect.
An extra add-on.
Johnny approves.
Yeah.
Johnny approves.
28 cores.
Walk into an Apple store and see a car in the middle in the Mac section.
I would like
yes
that.
Yes.
Oh, even if it's
please
a car I don't want. I just like the idea of advertising like watch, phone, tablet, Mac, car, headphones, you know, all these different electronics in one place.
iPod Touch.
Exactly. Which is still there for some reason.
So you're at the Apple store.
But would the Apple car come with an iPhone? Would the Apple car come with an iPhone?
It should come with something.
No, but you're at the Apple
okay
store, okay?
Gosh, sorry.
You're at the Apple store buying an iPhone. And Apple car on as well because it doesn't work with the old aux cables. You're going to need a new car.
It's an add-on.
Oh.
That was my favorite
ouch
feature.
Drew, do you
the
remember
favorite thing about
the old, like...
Yeah.
To add the $1,000 Apple Cinema display. Remember that?
Yes.
And it was like a one click.
Yes. Yeah.
After. They're like, instead, would you like to add the Apple car into your cart?
Instead of buying your $9 headphone to lightning adapter, don't buy a new phone. Just buy a new car.
I love the mindset with that of like, well, you put it there so they don't have any time to think about it. They'll be like, Oh, car? Okay,
oh,
sure.
Car, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I needed a new car. This is perfect. Yeah.
Would the Apple car be covered under Apple Care?
Ooh.
Oh, so no.
Probably.
No insurance anymore? It's all Apple insurance?
That would be
okay
cool.
Well, I've
that
heard rumors
cool
that Tesla's working on their own insurance
yep
program, which
they are.
I think is very compelling because if you look at insurance prices for Teslas, they are not that cheap. In fact,
Ooh.
All the money you'll make in gas savings will then be spent on your insurance going up, most likely.
Wait, how much does the insurance go up?
It depends on what your insurer is. It's probably more substantial for me because, you know, I drive a piece of junk and it's the cheapest thing on earth to insure. I think both of our cars, me and my wife both have vehicles, and it costs $60 a month to insure both of them. So,
oh, wow. That's nice.
Crazy. Yeah, that's pretty dang cheap. And when we're looking at the Model 3 insurance, it's something like easily over $1,000 a year. It's $1,200 to $1,600 a year, I think, depending on who your insurance is. And there's a lot of factors that go into what they charge for you. But it's more expensive than the average car because the parts are not very plentiful. And they're not cheap to repair because there's a lot of components and electronics inside them. So if they get in an accident, it can take a long time to fix them. And that means that the insurance has to go up because it's pricey to repair those things.
See Apollo.
Yeah, exactly. So if Tesla did their own service that could undercut everyone else's, I think a ton of people would go for it.
Yeah.
I'd hope so.
And, like, Teslas are so safe. Like, I feel like the insurance companies don't realize this. Like,
yeah.
Sure, Teslas are expensive to fix, but the European, some regulatory, whatever, just rated the Model 3, like, the best, the most safest car, and, like, with obstacle avoidance, and, like, they did, like, all these tests where, like, a pedestrian just popped out and, like,
gets
like,
hit
well,
every
that's
time.
That's going to save the insurance company a lot of money right there.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I assumed that because you were driving like the safest car on the road, they would lower your insurance. But I think it has more to do with the fact that they're not insuring you because they think you're a bad driver. They're insuring you a lot because, you know, you could be in the safest car in the world, but the idiot behind you doesn't know what he's doing, and he could ram in the back of the Model 3, and it's still uber expensive to fix.
That's why
that
all the cars
mistake.
Need to be Teslas.
Wouldn't the and Model 3
every car now needs to be a
just
Tesla?
Just like scoot forward because it would know, and then like shoot
well, if
out
there's
of the
a car
lane,
in front of it,
but then it would like shoot out of the
it,
lane.
It will.
Just
it will if it's safe.
That's, yeah.
If it detects someone's coming up behind and not stopping, and there's room up in front, it'll scoot up a little bit more room.
It will suddenly activate Ludicrous.
So Tesla.
Even if you didn't buy the Ludicrous package, it will buy it really quick, download it.
Buy it
and then
for you.
Yes.
So then if you're tailgating a Tesla, you're pretty good. Like, because if you just keep going faster, it'll keep going faster, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And then you get a ticket. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you get a ticket. And you're like, it wasn't me, it was the car. And they're like, why weren't you driving? And you're like, you know.
Yes. So, like, before we head out, we're almost done with today's episode. I need to ask Nathan his opinion on the recently announced Mac Pro and Pro Display XDR. Do you like what they did with the lineup? Do you plan on buying it? What do you think of it? Because this has been a controversial topic for us.
I'm going to get my popcorn out. See. This is going to be good.
I think the Pro Display, I think everyone is blowing it way out of proportion. It's like, you know, 99% of people watching that, like, that's not, it's not for, you know, the commoner folk like us. You know, it's for Universal Studios to buy 100 of them for their editors, you know, so I don't know if there was a better way for them to have announced it where, like, they shouldn't have told it to everyone, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
maybe.
It's fine. Like, I mean, if it's really better than that $40,000 monitor, then, like, why are we all complaining? I agree that the way they announced the stand was a little tricky.
My complaints was coming more from them taking it in such a pro high-end market to the point that no, like, everyday consumer's gonna buy it, because I missed the old Thunderbolt cinema display market. Like, that's what I wanted Apple to go into, and hearing that they were going into that market like 2 years ago, that's when they announced they were going back into the monitor business, I was like, oh cool, we're gonna finally get like the 5K display from the iMac but as its own standalone monitor. Because you can still buy, like, a iMac with a 5K display, and it's, like, $1,800. And that has a whole computer in it. I'm just saying, take the computer parts out. Just sell the display. I was really hoping they would do something like that. But the fact that they went with the super high-end $5,000, no stand included, is like, yeah, I understand there's a market for it, but it wasn't the market that I was hoping they were going to get back into. That was my anger with it.
How much would that cost, though? Like, would you say that'd still be $1,000 for just the 5K display?
Oh, I would easily pay more for that. Like, I was anticipating a 5K, or there were rumors that it would be 6K in advance. So I was like, okay, if it's 6K, if it's 32 inches, I would have easily paid $2,000, $2,500 for a monitor like that. But instead they were like, well, what if the colors were a little better, and then it was twice the price?
I feel like $2,500 would be right in between like normal consumer and like actual professionals. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like no one would have bought that. I mean, you know, there obviously would have been people who would have bought it, but I feel like that's like more than like a normal person would want to spend, but then not enough for like a professional to use. But I don't know. I might not know what I'm talking about.
Well, you have
basically
more...
Jonathan Morrison and MKBHD are going to buy them.
Yes. They've sold
I mean,
two.
Like, they would have bought whatever they released, no matter what monitor it was. True. They would have bought it. But what did you think of the Mac Pro, the upgradable, customizable cheese grater?
I mean, it's cool. I don't know. I'm not going to buy one.
It's not for you.
It's just, I mean, it's very expensive. And I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I love Apple. I have a MacBook Pro and everything. But I have a desktop Windows for my personal use.
Oh, that's right.
For like editing. I'll tell you why. Because I spent $1,500 on it, and it does everything I need it to. And
well, that's
I don't
good.
Know. At this point,
except run macOS.
That's why I have my laptop, and obviously, it'd be nice if it ran macOS. But I don't know. At this point, I'm not ready to spend. I don't even know how much it costs. How much is the baseline Mac Pro?
It is terrible.
Too much.
The baseline one is weaker performing than the iMac Pro, but it's $1,000 more than the iMac Pro.
Makes sense.
It's just the iMac Pro, except without as good hardware, with a quarter of the storage, and without the monitor or the speakers.
Mm-hmm. True.
So
wait,
that makes it
$6,000.
Yeah.
But you can buy wheels.
But the Afterburner card.
Mm.
Wait, do we know how much the wheels cost?
No, but I want to. I bet they're $1,000 a piece.
I think Craig Federighi responded to an email and said, "How much do you think they're worth?"
I feel like two.
Like
$2.50.
Someone emailed him and asked him, like
$2.50
how much,
for the
yeah,
wheels.
Probably like $2.50 each.
So $1,000
no,
each.
No,
each.
No.
So you could potentially, have three wheels and get by. You know.
Ooh, there you go.
Oh,
you know,
I could mostly
or
stand
two
up
wheels
on three.
Your $20,000 Mac Pro falls over, whatever.
Yeah. Or you could just put two on one side, and then it's like a traveling briefcase.
Oh, true.
It sits
true
under
good
your desk,
point.
But
there
then when you're ready to move it, you just pull up on one side, and then it'll roll easy. That way you don't
there
have
you
to
go
waste all that money on wheels.
We just save $500.
You're welcome.
They're like, would you like, wow, they're like, would you like the Apple Care or the fourth wheel? Because your budget only gets one.
Or the fourth wheel. Yes. No.
I know what being a third wheel is like in a conversation, but I don't know what being a fourth wheel is like.
Yes. We've saved all of our listeners so much money. The least you guys can do is write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Improve
ooh,
our ratings.
Ooh.
We've saved you all $500 without question. I think that's an objective fact at this point.
Yes.
But Nathan, thank you very much for catching up with us and for chatting tech. It was a lot of fun.
Of course, anytime. We need to reconvene
we'll have to
when the
this
wheel price is announced.
Yes, exactly. We're gonna have
and
to
we can reevaluate
back
the situation.
Yes, reevaluate. All righty. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you all next week. Bye-bye.